Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Ayin Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a specially marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the fifth wide line of Daf Ayin Beis. We continue with issues of yichus, genealogy, and where they apply in Bovel. Sections of Bovel are considered genealogically pure, and beyond those specific boundaries, then you have problem areas where you cannot assume that those that are from those further outlying areas to be of pure pedigree. We continue with a long marking. You'll notice Shot Meshot, a long marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. These few lines are dedicated to a particular land area, as we see in the Gemara. Hahu gavro de'omar lehu ano min shot meshot. It was a man that announced, "I am from Shot Meshot." Omar Reb Yitzchok Nafcho al Raglov. Reb Yitzchok stood up, v'yomar, and he declared, "Shot Meshot bein hanahorois imedes." This area called Shot Meshot lies between the rivers. I want to point out that according to Tosfos, the third Tosfos on this daf, the last Tosfos, the reference to Bein Shnei Nahoros here is not the reference that we saw in our previous shiur to the area between the Diglas and Pras rivers. There, it was very clear that any land mass that lies between those two rivers is what we'll call the heart of Bovel, and hence highly pure by way of pedigree. This is some other area. So Rav Yitzchok says Shot Meshot lies between the two rivers. So the Gemara asks, V'chi bein ha-nahoros omedes mayhave? So what? It lies between the two rivers. What difference does that make? Omra Abay, Omra Chama Bar Ufo, Omra Yossi Bar Chanina. Bein hanahoros harei I kegula liyuchsin. So Rav Yossi tells us that the area bein hanahoros is like goyla. Goyla is pumpadisa, and that's an area of pure pedigree. So too Shot Meshot. Vehecha kaimo. Now you notice we have a number 10. This is a numbering scheme that is a continuation from our extensive preoccupation with the map diagrams that we've provided. And now we're referring to the last of the map diagrams. The last one, you can see the bottom third of the map diagram page. And there's a number 10. And we've written on the diagram, V'heichu kaimu shot meshot, Om Rabbi Yochanan me'i dekiro liel. So in our Gemara, Om Rabbi Yochanan, it is me'i dekiro liel. It's from the area that is upstream from Ihi Dekira. Now, upstream means in a more southerly direction. The rivers in our discussion are flowing from the south to the north. So the Gemara asks, "V'ha Omar Rabbi Yochanan." But how could you say that the area of that Shot Meshot is upstream from Ihi Dekira, and yet it is considered of pure pedigree? But Rabbi Yochanan said that until v'ho om Rabbi Yochanan ad mabruso de gizmo. And you can see this on our diagram if you look carefully. Rabbi Yochanan's name we've put in parentheses. He had said that extent upstream of pedigree, this is a place called Mabro de Gizmo, Mabro de Gizmo, or Mabarta de Gizmo, and we saw this in our first map diagram where Rabbi Yochanan presented his shita together with Rav and Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan was in our top diagram from yesterday's, from our previous shiur, was their number 8. So here you can see how Rabbi Yochanan gives you a location no further upstream than Mabarta de Gizmo as being as pure pedigree. How then can he give me an area way upstream, even further upstream than E de Kira, and still call that of pure pedigree? So Omar Abaye, Abaye answers Ritsua Nafka. On our diagram, you can see it's a Ritsua is a strip. There's a strip of land that continues from Mabarta de Gizmo till Shot Meshot. That strip, in fact, is of still pure pedigree. Even though other areas along the river that were higher or upstream from Mabarta de Gizmo that lack that pureness of pedigree. And we look in Rashi, the lower part of the narrow lines, Rashi says, Om Rabbi Ritsua Nafka Balachson, at an angle, Mi Mabarta de Gizmo, from that location that Rabbi Yochanan originally mentioned. There, sometimes you see spellings that alter, but it's the same place here. Gidmo is spelled with a Dalet. In the Gemara we saw it spelled with a Zion. Do not be disturbed by that. So this strip, Umakefes Esapsulim, it goes around the non-pedigree areas, Ad Mala Mi Dekira, until further above stream than E Dekira, Shohoya Min Hapsulim, Veshot Meshot Befi Harutsua Shel Al Pras. And Shot Meshot was located at the where the land meets the river. That's an area, that strip of land, nevertheless, is of pure pedigree. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have our Nosei / Mivneh heading. A house shape appears, and we've written Machloikis Rav Ika v'Rav Abba. These are the names that you'll see highlighted with this marking. A disagreement between them. Im lahagdir chilzon nihavand kemokoim miuchas. Shall we classify this area called chilzon nihavand as a place of pure pedigree? The dashed underline that will be used is to highlight the hadgosha lahavdir hamachlikis. So that you'll see after Rav Ika, reference to Chilzon Nihavand is Kegoyle Liuchsin. Later, we'll see Rabbi Abba speaking of Nihavand and mentioning that the Kulam Lipsul. So you have a polar disagreement. Now the Gemara. Omar Ravika Bar Ovin. Omar Rav Hananel. Omar Rav. Chilzon Nihavand Hare Hi Kegoyle Liuchsin. This place, Chilzon Nihavand, is like Goyla. Liyuchsin means it is of pure pedigree. Amale Abaye. Abaye says, Lo Tatsisu Le. Don't listen to him, to this declaration of pureness. Why did he say that? Yavoma hi denoflo le hosam. A sister-in-law became available to him as a Yavoma. In other words, Ravika's brother died and left no children, but a widow survived, and she would be the Yavoma. So he wanted to marry her and would be able to do so only if she was of pure pedigree. Omar Le, Rav Ika responded to Abaye, and he says, Otu Didihi. This declaration of Chilzon Nihavand as being an area of pure pedigree, do you think it's my own invention? The Rav Hananel hi. This is something that I heard from Rav Hananel. Ozil Shailuha, the Rav Hananel. So then they asked of Rav Hananel, well, what did you say? Omar lehu, hochi omar Rav. Thusly says Rav, chilzel nihavan harehi kegoyle liyuchsin. So that Rav Ika's report was quite accurate. Upliga de Rabbi Abba bar Kahana. This is at odds with Rabbi Abba's approach. The Omar, and the note here, we have a long point marking. The nun that you see encircled to the left-hand side of the Gemara text is a nekuda, a long point. Rav Kahana, he says, the Omar Rav Kahana, Abba bar Kahana, Maidichtiv, a posik is now quoted that deals with the places that the 10 northern tribes of Israel during the conquest of the Assyrian Empire and subsequent exile of the 10 northern tribes, they were relocated in the following. So the pasuk says Vayanchem, they were placed Bachlach uvechovor Nahar Goizen vore Modai. Now each place is from the scripture is given a later time identification. The scripture predates the Gemara, so in order to know where they are, so the Gemara explains Chlach zu Chilzain, and you notice the dash underline Chavor ze Hadayev. Hadayev was a place like Chilzain known to the Gemara, and hence they were able to identify the scriptural locations. Nahar Goizan ze Ginzak, or a Modai ze Hamdan v'Chavroseha. The Amri Law, another version, Zu Nihavand v'Chavroseha. My Chavroseha, what does that word mean, or what does it refer to? You're telling me Hamdan is the location, and the Chavroseha means neighboring areas. So, like the word Chaver is a friend, or someone that you're attached to. So, what does it mean geographically? Omar Shmuel, Krach Mushchi, Chuski, Verumki, places that were known to the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Vekulon Lifsoil. All of these locations that we've mentioned in the last couple of lines, including, you see, Chilzon and Nihavand, Chilzon Nihavand are Lifsoil. So that it puts Rav Abba at odds with, or differs with, Rav Ika. Rashi, toward the end of the narrow lines, let's read it together. V'chulan lefsol, kol mokom shegolu hashvotim, all the places that the 10 tribes were exiled to, nitme'u oivdei kecham b'vnoisehem, there was a mixture of idol worshippers with the Jewish women. V'oivdei kecham b'vnoisehem bo'al bas Yisrael, when there's intermarriage between idol worshippers and slaves and Jewish women, afil lemandomer havlad mamzer lo have, even according to the opinion that the child is not classified as a mamzer, pogu mi have, however, he is considered pogum, deficient or lacking pureness of pedigree. We continue in the Gemara. Ka salka daita. The initial thinking is mushki hainu mushkini. Now we made reference to these places in the preceding section. Just if you look at the line right above, you see a dot underlined word mushki. So the thinking is that this mushki is mushkini. And by saying that, you're saying that mushki, or I should say mushkini, is pasul. Mushkini, how can you say that mushki is mushkini when Shmuel teaches that mushkini is of pure pedigree? It's like goyle liyuchsin. Ela mushki lechud u mushkini lechud. Rather, these are two different places. Mushki being a place of psul, of disqualified pedigree, and mushkini being a place of pure pedigree. We have a pasuk from Doniel. This is part of the in the book of Doniel, the book of Daniel. There are visions that are described, and the vision here is a reference to Bovel. The pasuk says, "Uslos ilin befuma bein shineha." We look at Rashi, who says on the first line under the Gemara text, we have a little star there, and we will read Vekashia Bepuma Ben Shineha. The pasuk has an internal seeming contradiction. Befuma Mashma Mibefnim. The pasuk speaks about Tlos Ilin, or three Ilin, three ribs. And Befuma is in the mouth of this creature that was part of Daniel's vision, but the word Befuma, Mashma Mibefnim, something that's absorbed, that's within. And Bein Shineha, that expression also in the very same Pasuk, Mashma Sheboltos Mibachutz, that they protrude outwards. So what appears to be described seems to be something contradictory. You have three ribs in its mouth, or protruding forth. The Gemara answers, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, this pasuk is describing Zu Chilzon Hadayev Unitzivin. These are places, Shepa'omim Bol Osan, sometimes Bovel rules over them, Upa'omim Poltosan, and sometimes they're cast out, they're beyond the realm of Babylonian control. The pasuk says again from Doniel. This is a continuation of Perek Zion pasuk Hey, Varu Cheva Ochri Sinyona Domyo Ledov. And then there appeared a second creature, and it appeared like a bear. Toni Rav Yosef Elu Parsayim. Now Daniel was having a vision of different powers, international powers, empires. He starts with Bovel, and that is then succeeded by the Persian Empire. Daniel himself was a subject of the Babylonian Empire, but this is a prophetic type vision, and he envisioned this second creature compared to a bear. Elu Parsayim, these are the Persians. Sha'ichlim v'shoysim kedoiv, they eat and drink like bears. Umisubolim kedov, they're corpulent like bears, they're thick, corpulent, large people like a bear. Umigadlin ser kedov, and they are hairy like a bear. Vein lohem menucha kedov, and they also are never at peace. Rashi explains, if you tie up a bear, if you chain a bear, it will pace constantly, back and forth, back and forth, and that describes in this analogy, a people that's never at peace. Rabbi Ami ki havechosi parsa derochiv, when Rabbi Ami would ever see a Persian riding on a horse, Omar hainu duba naida, there you've got a moving bear. We have a new marking, a bow tie, and on the side under the Mivneh, we indicate Havlotas Rebbe. We're highlighting Rebbe, and the double underline that you see initially, Mishalim Shel Levi. These are Mishalim, they're analogies that Levi will present to Rebbe. Rebbe will ask him, show me this, that, and the other thing. You see a number of underlinings, of double underlinings, where Rebbe's asking for Levi to show him, to demonstrate to him what these things are, what they remind him of. And I'm sure that there are very deep references in this Gemara, but true to Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, we're going to be sticking with the basic translation as we go on. So, Omar Le Rebbe Le Levi, Hareni Parsayim, literally means show me Persians. And Rashi says, Hareni Parsayim on the fourth line under the Gemara text, Baal Misholos V'dumyo Yishoya Levi. Levi was equipped with many analogies and comparisons. The Kamala Rebbe Misholi Parsayim L'mahim Domim. Rebbe asks him, give me an analogy to the Persians. So Levi answers, Omar Le, back in the Gemara, says they are Doimin L'chayolos Shel Beis David. They're like the soldiers, like the troops of David, King David's armies. They're warriors. Hareini Chaborim. Chaborim, Rashi points out, is a nation that's in the vicinity of the Persian people, and they are of a highly destructive, warlike, destructive people, more so than the Persians. So Rebbe asks Levi, give me or show me an analogy to the Chaborim. Answer, Doimin l'malachei Chabola. They're like angels of destruction. The Chaborim appear in different Masechtas, hence this isn't the only place that you'll see them. Nevertheless, they're described as highly destructive. Har'eini Yishma'elim. Show me Ishma'elim, often associated with Arabs. Doimin, so Levi answers, Doimin l'si'irim shel beis hakise. They are like the demons of the bathrooms. Rashi says, Miluboshim shchorim v'doimim l'shedim. They're dressed in black and they are like demons. Hareini talmidei chachom shebebovel. Give me an analogy to the Talmudic sages of Bavel. So Levi answers, Doimim l'malachei hashoris. They appear as service angels. Rashi says, Levushim levonim vatufim. They're robed and cloaked in white, k'malachei hashoris, like service angels, where there are prophetic visions describing the service angels as wearing white linens. The Gemara continues, Ki havenicho nafshei de Rebbe. When Rebbe was about to pass away, he was overcome with prophecy. Omar, and Rebbe said, you'll see here a new marking scheme, and on the side, this double underline refers to Mekoymas Dika B'Bavel. Their locations, places in Bavel, Ruba Nisku Repo B'Keshe L'Psule Yichus. Most of them are cited here in connection with disqualifications involving pedigree. So Rebbe starts to hold forth, and this a prophecy of Rebbe, you'll see, continues till Omid Beis. So as Rebbe was about to die, he said, Humanya Iko Bobovel. There's a place called Humanya, Kulo Amonoi Hi. All the residents there are from Ammonite origin, and the Ammonite people, the male folk from the Ammonite people, are prohibited to marry into the Jewish folks. Misgaria Iko Bobovel, Kulo de Mamzero Hi. Misgaria, full of Mamzerim. Birko Iko Bobovel. Well, I'll tell you, he says, I'll tell you about Birko, Shnei Achim Yesh. There are two brothers there, Shemachlifim Nishayseim Zelozeh, that they swap their wives with one another. Birta de Satya Iko Bobovel. The word Satya is reminiscent of the word Soita. Soita is a wayward woman. It's listot, minaderech, to go off the path. So there's a place, Birta de Satya, Iko Bobovel, Hayom Soru Me'achareha Mokom. Today, they went away, they veered off the path of God. And what happened? What's the background? The Akvi Pira Bekavri B'Shabata. There was a pond or a pool, that's the word pira is a pool of water, that was a fish pond that was used for raising fish, and it seemed to overflow with fish on Shabbos, so that fish became very readily available at the surface, the edges of this fish pond. And v'ozel v'tzodu b'hu b'shabbato, and they went, the people from Birta, the Satya, went and trapped the fish on Shabbos, which is a strictly prohibited Shabbos activity. And v'shamtinu, Rabbi Achib, Rabbi Yoshia, and Rabbi Achib, Rabbi Yoshia declared them in excommunication, v'ishtamud, and their reaction to being chastised, penalized like that, was their rebelling and leaving the Jewish path, the Jewish way. Rashi says nishtamdu. They became heretics. Akra de Agmo Iko Babavel Ado Bar Ahava Yesh Ba. So place Akra de Agmo, and in Akra de Agmo there is a person called Ado Bar Ahava. And the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Hayoim Yoshev Bechekei Shel Avraham. And there are two pirushim, two explanations in Rashi to what this means. One is that today he died. And so Rebbe is describing Adam Ava who died, which would indicate that it's not the famous Rav Adam Ava of the Shas who was much later than this. There's another pirush, and that is that it's Adam Ava was born today. Cheku Shel Avram is a reference to the Bris Milah, so he's born today. And then you would be describing the Rav Adam Ava, the Shas, who lived a long time, lived from Rebbe's, from the end of Rebbe's days till way into the Amoraic period. Hayom Nolad Rav Yehuda Babavel. And here we have a long point. So that Rebbe is telling us that today Rav Yehuda was born in Bavel. Rebbe was in Eretz Yisrael. The Omar Mar. And here we have a list of names of great Talmudic personalities. Kishemes Rabbi Akiva Nolad Rebbe. When Rabbi Akiva died, Rebbe was born. Kishemes Rebbe Nolad Rav Yehuda. Upon Rebbe's death, Rav Yehuda was born. Kishemes Rav Yehuda Nolad Rava. Kishemes Rava Nolad Rav Ashi. What is the purpose in telling us about this, we'll say, this type of this transition? This teaches us that you won't have a situation of a righteous individual passing away until the Almighty brings a replacement righteous person in his place. Shenemar v'zorach Hashemesh yuvo Hashemesh, the pasuk saying that the sun shines, the sun sets. What does that refer to? Ad shelo kofso shimshel shel Eli, before Eli, who was the high priest at the end of the Mishkan period, before his sun set, meaning before he died, zorach shimshel shel Shmuel Ramosi, the sunshine of Shmuel shone forth. Shmuel Haramasi, that's the prophet Shmuel. So that when before Eli died, Eli already Shmuel arrived. Shmuel was born. Shneamar v'nerli kim terem yichbe uShmuel shochei v'chulei. The candle of the Almighty before it went out, meaning before Eli died, Shmuel was already there, lying there. Tzivo Hashem liyankiv svivav tzarav. That's a posuk from Eicha, that the Almighty has ordered things such that where Yankiv, where the Jewish people are, his tzorov, his oppressors are surrounding him also. Rav Yehuda Omar, Kegon Humanya Lefum Nara. This is like the relative position of Humanya, which we saw referenced on Omid Aleph, which was described as a place of Ammonites, and the Ammonites were people that had great enmity toward the Jewish people, and Pumnara was a place of Jewish dwelling. So hence you see a fulfillment of this pasuk of Tziva Hashem Liyankiv Svivav Tzarav in the very location of these two places, Humanya relative to Pumnara. Before we go further, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading on the side. A diamond appears. Shtei Gishois B'Tguvas Hanovi L'Misosu Shefatyo Ben Binoyo. We're going to see a pasuk from Yechezkel where the Novi, he reacts with a cry upon the death of this person, Tlatyo Ben Binoyo. And there are two extreme approaches. Was the Navi crying as an expression of grief, or was he crying as an expression of protest? One approach is that if it's a cry of expression of grief over his death, that in the Gemara is called letoiva. and indicating the reflecting the goodness of this man, and hence the death of Platyo in his youth. He died as a young man, was the source of grief. There's a second approach that says Lera, that the Novi's cry was an expression of his wickedness. Namely, the Novi was bemoaning the fact that this wicked man died a nice death, a misiyofa, as opposed to some type of tragic death. Simanu, our note says Simanu kol haketa kinekuda aruka. We have a long point marking which encompasses these two approaches. There's another marking that we want to draw your attention to. It's a trapezoid which highlights the word meishan. Litzor kesher im hemshech hagemara. We want to create a connection between what we see here and what we'll see later on. Note that in addition to the long point marking on the right-hand side of the Gemara text, on the left-hand side of the Gemara text, we have additional long markings. The first one is a diamond with the word toiva, where the first approach is presented, reflecting that this Patyo was a positive figure, and hence the Novi's, the prophet's cry was a cry of grief and of upon his death. And the next long marking that you see there with a diamond is Ra'a, the negative approach to this very same person. Now, the Gemara. Vayhi kehinobi, and as I was prophesying, Uflatyo ben Bnei Mace. Platyo died, ve'epol alponai, and I fell on my face, ve'ezak kol godo v'omar ha'ashem elikim. Aha, Hashem Elokim. He says, I fell on my face and I cried a great cry and I said, woe unto God. Rav Ushmuel, Chadomar Letoiva. One says that the Novi's cry was a reflection of the positive element of Platyo. How can a man, such a wonderful man, die so young? The Chadomar Lera, and one said it was the Novi's expression of protest. How can you grant a man like this a proper death? Man Yomer LeToiva, the one that explains in the positive direction. Here is the background. Kiha de Istandra de Meshan. Astandra is a ruling figure, we'll call him a governor of the area of Meshan. Chasne de Vuchanetzar Have. He was the son-in-law of the emperor Nebuchadnezzar. Sholach Lei, this son-in-law sends to his father-in-law Nebuchadnezzar, Mikule Hai Shvia the Isis, from all of the captive peoples that you have conquered. Let me read that again. Mikule Hai Shvia the Isis Loch that you captured for yourself, Lo Shadris Lon Dekoy Lekamon. You've sent no captives to us. In other words, to serve as our servants. Boy, Lishturi Le Mi Yisrael. So, Nebuchadnezzar, amongst the millions of people that he conquered, he wanted to send Jews to serve as servants to this place in this Meshan area. Amale Flatio Ben Benoyo. And here's the focus of our attention. Platyo says to Nebuchadnezzar, Anan de Chashvinon Neku Mikamo Chocha. We Jews who are a great people, we're a people of importance. It's true, you've captured us, you've conquered us, but we're a people of high standing, so we shall remain here with you to serve you. You're the emperor. So it's only befitting that your slaves should be people of importance. The Avdin Nezlu Lahasim, and our slaves shall go there. So send our slaves over there to Meshan. The Omar Novi, and the prophet said, Mishasa Toivu Israel, this man Platyo who did good for the Jewish people. Yomus Bechatzi Yomov should die half his age, die so young. Here's a man that was preserving the dignity of the Jewish people. Why did he die so young? Was the Novi's cry. So that's what we call man domer l'toiva. Now we shift man domer l'ra, dichtiv. The pasuk says there in pasuk aleph in Yecheskel perik yud aleph, It says, "Vatove osi el shar beis Hashem hakadmoni hapoine kodimo." Yeah, and the prophet had this vision that he was brought to the Beis Hashem, to the Beis HaMikdash. Bear in mind, this was a time that there was no Beis Hashem, it was in ruins. But he had this vision of being brought to the Beis HaMikdash. V'hinei b'pesach hashar, and lo and behold, at the entrance, Esrim v'chamisha ish, there were 25 people. V'era oisam, v'era b'socham es, and I saw amongst them, these are names, here you have es yaznaya, Ben Azur, yes, Platyo, Ben Benayahu, Soreham, and we dash on Platyo. Obviously, he's the focus of our attention. Uksiv, and it says there, it says in the prophet, it's a scripture, it's a different location, but it says, Vayove Oisi Achatzer Beit Hashem Apanimus, and I was brought to the inner chamber of the Beis HaMikdash, V'inei Pesach Heichal Hashem, and lo and behold, at the entrance to the Heichal of God, the Heichal is the enclosed area of the Beis HaMikdash, Bein Ulam Ubein HaMizbech, the area between the Ulam, the antechamber, and the altar, Ke'esim V'chamisha Ish. Now this dash underlining is to connect you with what we cited three lines above, the 25 people, and what can we say about what does the prophet say about these people? Achoyreim el Heichal Hashem, their posteriors, their backs were facing the Heichal Hashem. Ufneim Kedmon, their fronts were facing east, forward, but that means facing east. Now, if Bimashma Shinema Ufneim Kedmon, by telling me that you have these 25 men facing east, would I not know that their backs are then facing west? What's the purpose in saying that their backs were toward the Heichal of Hashem? It's obvious. Once you tell me that they were standing at the entrance to the Heichal and they were facing east, I know that their backs were facing west, their backs were facing the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal. So why does that need to be spelled out? Melamed, it teaches me, Shehoyu, Mafriyim Atzmon, Matrizim Atzmon, they exposed their posteriors. They revealed their flesh, that part of their anatomy, and they also released their bowels in Tuklape Maila, toward the Beis HaMikdash, toward Hashem, so to speak. A most disgusting and devastating type of deprecation and insult that one could imagine. The Ka'omar Novi and the Novi Yecheskel said regarding these people, including Platyo Ben Bino, Mish Oso Ro Azos B'Yisrael, someone who could do such evil in Israel, Yomus HaMitosa, should he die on his bed? In other words, die a proper death. He should have a disgusting type of death. We had two names at the beginning of this section, Rav and Shmuel. One presented it L'toivo and one presented it L'ra. Tistayim, and here we have this as a question. There's a suggestion that's made, and we have a long marking to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, but this suggestion is then going to be rejected, since you see a dechia, long dalad dechia rejection. Tistayim de Shmuel de Omar L'ra. Let us consider that Shmuel is the opinion that presented Platyo in the negative light. The Omer of Chiyobar Avin Omar Shmuel, Mushkini Harehi Kegoylu Luyuchsin. Mushkini is a place of pure pedigree. It's like Goyla regarding Yuchsin pedigree. Meishon, now note, we have this marking. This is to tie us into Meishon referred to earlier. Meishon lo choshu lo lo mishum abdus, lo mishum amzerus. Meishon is a place where there was no suspicion of slavery, nor suspicion, in other words, pureness in that regard. There was no suspicion of slavery there. Velo mishum mamzerus, nor any problems of mamzerus. Elo kehanim shohoyu bo lo ikpidu ala grushos. The only problem in Meishon was that kehanim that lived there married divorcees, which is prohibited for kohanim to do. That produces children that are halolim, but no problem of avdus nor mamzerus. Let us focus on the main point. We dashed underline that Meishon is no problem of avdus. Above, we had a description of Meishan as a place that slaves were sent. So Meishon was a place that there were slaves. Hence, that approach, where Meishon appeared in the previous house marking under the heading of Mandomer Latoiva, could not be Shmuel, who says that Meishon is a place of no slaves there. So you don't have any pedigree problem involving suspicion of slaves. Hence, that first diamond, which described Meishon as a place that there were slaves, could not be Shmuel. Hence, our suggestion is that Shmuel was the one that was the second diamond which portrayed Platyo as wicked. The Gemara responds, Le'olam ei malach, there we are rejecting that point now, and saying, I will tell you Shmuel omar l'toifa. Shmuel describes Platyo in a positive light, and if that's the case, then Meishon was a place that slaves were sent. So how can Shmuel be at the same time describing Meishon as a place that slaves were sent, and at the same and say that that there's no chashash of avdus amongst the Jewish community? So Shmuel l'taimei, Shmuel, in saying that there's no chashash avdus, is consistent with Shmuel's general opinion. The Omar hamachkir avdoi yetzel lecherus. The Jews sent their slaves there. That's true. But sending your slaves that were captured by the Babylonian armies, you're no longer an owner of your slave. You're like someone who declares your slave unowned. That's mafkir avdo. Well, one who's mafkir is eved, he goes free. V'eino tzorch get shichur. And in order to marry a Jewish woman, he's already considered Jewish. He doesn't need a freedom document. He's considered a full-fledged Jew. Shenemar kol eved ish miknas kesef. The Pasuk describes a slave as someone who was owned by an owner that bought him. Eved ish. Below Eved Isha, how do you read this pasuk? A slave of a man is a slave, and a slave of a woman is not a slave. What does Eved Ish mean? Elo Eved Sheish Lo Rushus L'Rav Olav Koru Eved. A slave that's under the control of a master, he is a slave. Eved Shein L'Rav Rushus Olav. A slave that's not under the control of a master, ain't Koru Eved. He's not referred to as a slave. So that the Shmuel describes Meishon as a place that the Jewish slaves were sent, but that doesn't impinge on the pureness of pedigree of Meishon as being able to be described as a place that there's no chashash of avdus, because once the Jewish slaves were the slaves that were originally owned by Jews, captured by the Babylonian armies, were sent to Meishon, they became free men as far as halacha is concerned, free in a halachic sense. And hence they become regular Jews. Hence we can align Shmuel with the opinion above that says L'toiva, and also holding that Meishon has no chashash avdus. Omer of Yudam Shmuel, Zu Divrei Rebbe Meir. What we've said till now that only Bavel has the status of being miyuchas, of being pure pedigree, that's Rebbe Meir's opinion. Avo chachomim omrim kol arotzos becheskas kashrus hein obdos. The chachomim disagree and say all areas, all lands where Jews live, have the status of being kosher, of being of pure pedigree. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Machloikis in Bovel bilvad nechshav eretz miyucheses, ogam shara rotzus becheskas ksheres hein odos. Is only Bovel considered of pure pedigree, or other countries as well? Amemar shorolei l'ravhuna bar noson l'minsav itza michuzaisa. Amemar allowed Rav Huna to marry a wife from Chuzaisa. Now, Chuzaisa is not within the traditional boundaries of Bavel, of the place of that we consider a pure pedigree. Yet, Amemar allowed Rav Huna to marry a woman from there, indicating that she's of pure pedigree. Omar le Ravashi mai daitoch. Ravashi asks Amemar, what is your ruling based on? Yomar of Yudom or Shmuel Zu Divri Rabbi Meir v'chachomim omrim kol arotzus becheskas ksheres hein omdos. You are basing yourself on this reported statement of Shmuel that according to the Chachamim, all lands are of pure pedigree. I protest that, however, says Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi goes on to say, Bei Rav Kano lo masni hachi. In the yeshiva Rav Kano, they don't teach in the name of Shmuel thusly. Ubei Rav Papa lo masni hachi. Ubei Rav Zvid lo masni hachi. None of these other authorities teach Shmuel like you do. Afilu hachi, but nevertheless, lo kiblo mine. Amemar did not accept Rav Ashi's objections. Mishum de Shmuel me Rav Zvid din harda. He heard this teaching that other nations, according to the Chalmim, are of pure pedigree from a different Rav Zvid, from Rav Zvid of Naharda. And it's based on him that Amemar issued his lenient ruling. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.